Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. It's good to see everybody here this morning. We are in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Stand for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to start in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will also come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, and John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplications with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you again for the reading of your word. Now, as we dig into it, we pray that we would come again, expecting with anticipation, Lord, that you will speak to each of us. And Lord, that you again will teach us how to walk in this world that we live in. Mysterious and wonderful that you are, Lord, that you will guide us into this truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of this message is Before Pentecost. Now, I know you've seen them. It's just, it amazes me how many drug commercials there are. And it's always the same thing that if you take this medication, then they'll give you the warnings. And the warnings actually list longer than what the benefit would be. Your kidney and liver may fail. You may go deaf and blind. And there are some that actually died taking this medication. But hey, if you feel lucky, it's like Russian roulette. But warning signs on products have been around for a long time. In fact, it seems like to me, and I may be wrong, started sometime in the 60s. But it started with cigarettes from what I remember, but I could be totally wrong. But every product now has warnings. And sometimes that warning, again, is a lot longer than what you're using it for. Now, there's a list here that I just want to go over quickly of warnings that you would be very surprised are on certain products. Nitol, the sleeping pill, has a label that has a warning. It says may cause drowsiness. A jet ski. It says never use a lit match or open a flame to check the fuel level. You guys writing these down? Hair dryer. Warning. Do not use while sleeping. Product, blowtorch, gas bottle. Warning, contents may catch fire. I'm not making these up, guys. Product, sunshades for car dashboards. You know, you put those things in there, keep the car cool, right? Warning, do not drive with sunshield in place. Now, this is really weird. Product, eggs. Warning, this product may contain eggs. Product, letter opener. I'm sorry, my mind just went and I just saw everybody opening their labels. Listen now, or their letters, safety goggles recommended. And the last one I'll share with you is a chainsaw. Warning, do not hold the wrong end of the chainsaw. Warning. Do I have a warning for you? Yes. I have a warning for all of us. If we heed what we hear this morning, our lives may change. Your priorities, your time, your purpose, your goals, your passion. Everything may change. Warning. Now, really what we're going through is verses 12 through 14. And if you notice, right after Jesus ascended into heaven, they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. That's verse 12. A Sabbath day's journey was about a half a mile. So the thought is what do you think they were talking about? As they walked back, one thing I guarantee you they weren't talking about, which one of them was the greatest. That was never a discussion again. It's interesting because during the Last Supper, right after communion, they argued who was going to be the greatest. No, I don't think that's what they talked about. Probably talked about what does this all mean with excitement and wonder. In fact, Luke kind of adds to this and he says this. It says, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with all joy. They were excited, but still they must have felt inadequate. What did they do now? He was always leading them. They followed him. He was the one that kept them together. They must have thought, what would Jesus have us to do? Well, what did he tell them to do? He told them to go to Jerusalem and to wait. See, they were learning something before our individual desires is obedience to him. Remember, he said, return to Jerusalem. So understand something. Before Pentecost, to really understand what it means and what it does in an individual's life is prepare the heart. And one of it is just as they have learning through this, we will learn. It's always to put Christ first. He's the master still. Oh, they can't see him maybe, but they learned something. 40 days he'd pop in and out. 40 days, it was always, hey, just when they were starting to get comfortable again or just confused or back to their lifestyle, like fishing, he would appear. It was a warning to them, but also, if you will, a statement. Be ready. Anytime. Any place. Put me first. Always. But it was also something else they had to learn. What was it? Obedience. It wasn't just what he said. What did he tell us to do? Go to Jerusalem, stay there and wait. They had to understand that he still was in charge and to obey what he commanded them. Now, you notice in verse 13, where'd they go? They went to the upper room. What upper room is this? Well, many believe that this is the same upper room that they had the Passover, but also where Jesus first appeared to them, because in Mark's gospel it says there you will find a large upper room. How many people were there? Well, possibly, if you look at verse 15, up to 120 people in this room waiting. If you will, this was the first upper room fellowship. Interesting to take note of the people that were there. Who was there? Well, look, the apostles with all their different personalities. The women, probably Joanna, Susanna, several Marys, probably Mary Magdalene, Mary and Martha. But also, if you notice, Mary, the mother of Jesus. With who? Jesus' half-brothers. Now, what's interesting to notice about this is that they didn't believe in Jesus at first. In fact, in John's gospel, he says even his brothers did not believe in him. How many brothers were there? Well, there was four. James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. But also something else to take note of. He had sisters. How many? We don't know, but it's plural, so we know at least two. They possibly were there too. Waiting. Waiting. See, during this time of staring at each other and waiting is also a time of reflection, self-reflection of what grace meant to them, of their sin and their failure to each of them. To sit there again, to contemplate, to be in a room, to be waiting. You can't help but turn to yourself and how did I deserve this grace? What is it that I am doing in the past that was displeasing? See, it was a time to repent and to cast away sin and fleshly pursuits. See, it was a higher calling. They were called to be witnesses to Him, the greatest miracle that ever happened on this earth, the greatest story that was ever told. The display of God's love for humanity, to forgive, to bring in into a family. But also, it wasn't just a time to receive grace, because that would be simple enough. But if you will, it was a time to extend grace, to forgive. See, it was a room full of people, and if you will, probably those brothers weren't the happiest about the apostles. They thought they were leading his brother into madness. And the apostles probably looked at the brothers saying, "Where were you?" So there's these interaction of personalities that, again, naturally might have been in the past, but now it's understanding something. We're in this together. This is full of grace. This is full of forgiveness. It's important for us to understand some, that Christ is the one that we are following. It's Him that we're to obey. But what do we have? We have grace given to us. It's a time to say, to cast away those things that so easily beset us in the past and say, "No more," they would say. And to understand something, I've been forgiven. What else can I do but forgive you? Realizing something that we are all in this together and we all have this in common. That apart from Him, we're but just stinking sinners. Selfish and only concerned with self. Me, myself, and I. Something happened. Something marvelous. Something fantastic. Something that is just amazing. That this one man, this God-man, has now joined people together. If you look at verse 14, notice this. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. That word "continued" means to be devoted in constant readiness for one. Wait on constantly. One accord, it means one mind with one passion. All their differences, all their different backgrounds, their education, their position, all their failings, all their sins, all faded into one purpose. One man. One God. Nothing else matter. Because of that, it was one mind, one devotion on Him. They waited together with anticipation, expectation, with wonder and mystery. What's next? Can you imagine that? Getting together and thinking that He's going to move. How He moves, that's His prerogative. Ours is to be ready, to receive, to anticipate, to expect. Does that speak of us? When you came here this morning, are you half asleep right now? Are you waiting? Are you listening? Are you expecting God to speak to you? To move you? To move you in such a way that you would become closer? Just as we've been praying and singing. To draw closer to Him, to know Him. They waited, if you will, in one accord, in unity. Why? Because just like Jesus said, "Again, I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there." See, that's the beauty about corporate. Listen, I spend a lot of time in the word, in prayer. And then, you know, that's not to say, "Hey, wow, look at you." No, because it's not that. That's not what I mean. because it can become very hard and very dry, very much a struggle. That's my point. Oh, God speaks. Don't get me wrong. But you know what? Something happens when a body of believers come together. Do you sense it? It's interesting because in Acts, we'll get into this in chapter 4. So when they heard that, they raised their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. And a few verses down, it says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken as they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. There's something happens when a group of people come together in Christ. Again, it's the understanding of something that where we come together corporately that he says, I am there. Why? Because that whole focus, that whole time that we're here together should be and is on him. I think finally we got a cross here. Not that you have to have a cross, but sometimes you look here and it's just, you know, screens and a stage and musical instruments. But he's the focal point. He's the focus of our worship. He's the focus of who we pray to. He's the focus that we come together. We are called Christians for a reason. It's because it's Christ-centered. It's him. It's all about him. It's the understanding that when he is glorified, and then he moves in his children, they worship him in spirit and in truth. They worship him anticipating that he is God and there is no other. And that's what they did. They came together with this, with expectation, with unity, with one accord, with one passion, one mind. Number two, they understood their need and their dependency upon him. Because again, they were like, wow, he left. I mean, up to this point, except the times that he sent us out, but we were just like, he was the sinner. Because we know and we knew we needed him. But now, that needing of him is even more pronounced. We need him. In fact, he told them, without me, you can do nothing. Paul understood this. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So it's an understanding that they had. We need him. We're not leaving until his promise comes to pass because we can't do anything apart from him. But with him, we know the world will be turned upside down, or again, like we like to say, right side up. It's amazing. And a group of people come with one mind, with one accord, with the understanding that we need him and nothing more. We don't need another teacher. We don't need another preacher. We don't need anybody charismatic up here. We need him. We need him. We don't need a smoke machine. We don't need all this other stuff. I don't need to come here and just try to give you these platitudes and make you feel better about yourself, because I don't want you to feel better about yourself. I want you to focus just as I want to focus on him. He's everything. I have discovered something in my years, and please do not take this any longer than the heart that is bringing out to you, is I am nothing apart from him. I am a failure apart from him. I have nothing. I can do nothing. But with him, I can do all things. I've learned that. When somebody asks me to do something, that especially when it comes to things spiritually, whether it be a funeral or a wedding, or even a devotional, or I've come here and done some teaching here too, I've come to realize something. If somebody asks me, that means he's going to equip me. Now, if I went out and say, hey, need a preacher? I know I'm going to fail. Because I can do nothing apart from him. They understood that. That's why they were waiting. Waiting on him. Waiting again, number three, with expectation and belief. In who? In him. In God and his promises. what he promised was going to come to pass. He said it, he'll do it. We've seen it over and over and over again. And just as we say, is he going to fail us now? No! He never fails. Never. Anticipation, expectant belief in who he is and all his promises of God in him are yes and in him amen to the glory of God through us. We don't just go through the Word of God just to say, hey, look, we're going through the Word of God and aren't we special? No, because what we're discovering is what he has said and what he has promised. And it's the same because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? So the same God that these people were sitting there waiting for is the same God that we've come together and waited on and worshiped and believed and trusted in his promises. We too have come waiting and expecting in belief in him and his nature and his promises. Number four, to believe in God and his promises is to pray. Pray according to his promises. Jesus said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Why? Because it's according to my promises added by me. But that's what he meant. What I've said to do, I will do. Do you believe that? Then pray. Pray believing. Oh, and so a lot of times nothing happens right away. It's hard. I get it. Sometimes it seems like you wait so long. But still, let's not forget something. See, they continued to pray without ceasing. Why? Because they came with wonder. They came expecting. They came ready and willing. They came believing God and his promises. His word was sure. Number five, they continued in prayer. Prayer is the hardest thing to do. It is. Especially when you stop after your list and you realize, I just gave a list is all I felt like I did. But it's to understand that this God that has promised these things desires fellowship. And the hardest thing to do is to pray. Why? Because it's saying, flesh, sit back. I want to commune with God. I want to talk to him. That's why I find a lot of times it's just easier just to go walk and talk. As if I'm walking with him. But again, it's with that expectation, and it's to continue praying. No matter what you've been praying for, don't give up. Keep asking. Jesus says in Luke, he says, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, again, it's to understand something. It's not for self-pleasure. No, it's for purpose, his purpose. And he wants to and he desires for each of us to shine through us. That we'd be witnesses for him. Oh, trust me. It's again, it's like I shared with you before, a personal thing. It's true too with sharing. See, if God prompts you to say something, then if you listen, he'll give you the words to say or not to say. And maybe all you're doing is casting seed. Or maybe it's just you being you and being generous and opening a door for somebody. Or picking something up that somebody dropped. Acts of kindness, of somebody caring, in the many times this careless world, as Jesus would do, he calls us to do. We're always looking for the spectacular, People are always asking, why are not the blind being healed, the deaf hearing? Because that's not the main issue. Learn this in Scripture. We learn this in truth. God could do all the miracles in the world. It doesn't make people believe. What makes people believe is the witness and testimony of others that God has changed. The miracle of transformation. Yeah, it's a warning. It's a warning to all of us. A warning that if we'd heed to these things, that our lives may be different. And as we're coming closer to the chapter known as Pentecost, then it's important for us to focus on, are we ready for this? Or am I just too busy? I got other things, my other plans, and God can come along, but this is what I'm trying to do. Or some of us, we're so busy we don't have time to think about these things. And so for you, I would ask, is that really how God wants you to be spending your time? Can you carve out some for Him? It's interesting because something that's dying in churches, and it may sound interesting because speaking of this message, what's dying is corporate prayer. Most churches don't do it anymore. Why? Because did I mention it's the hardest thing? Oh, you thought sitting here for 40 minutes listening to some goofball talk was hard. Their seats are hard. I know that. I've always wondered maybe that's the best thing is to have hard seats. They say two things, actually, I've just to share with you a little bit, I've read, is that in a church, what you should do is have uncomfortable chairs and then make it cold. Why? You can't go to sleep. If it's too warm and comfy here, you might doze off. Many people feel like, I did my duty, I went to church, I listened, we went through the Bible, and now I got the rest of my week ahead. And yet we're missing it, because that's not what we're called to do. We're called to follow Him. And one of the hardest things to do, and it's the reason why I believe that nobody goes to them anymore, is prayer. But wait a minute. Even Spurgeon said, you want to know the power of my ministry? Because that's what they would ask him. He would take them down in the basement and he would show them the people that are praying for him during the service. When D.L. Moody would go to different places, he had people go before him and pray. Pray that the people would be ready to receive what God had for them. Same thing with Billy Graham. Throughout all the ages of Christianity, gang, where God moved was because people were praying. And yet, now, corporately, with anticipation and expectation that God was going to move, it seems like nobody really does want God to move. They just want what they need in their lives. Somehow, it just seems hollow. Empty. Oh, I know what you're thinking. Oh, He's giving us a guilt trip. No, I'm not trying to at all. I've learned something long ago. If God's Spirit is not speaking to your heart, it doesn't matter what I say. And it's true with me too. But the reality is how much you want God really does matter on how much you give to God. I have a friend in California, and we've been talking about this. He goes to a much larger church, but he also goes to the prayer meeting. He asked me, how many did you have at your prayer meeting? I'd say, there's three. He goes, us too. He said, nobody's coming to prayer. So we made this pact. I'll pray for your church. You pray for our church. Because see, that tells us something. What? That we are coming together with anticipation, expectation. That God is going to move. And God is who we're dependent upon. That we wait together with this purpose. That we wait with expected belief. That we come to Him in prayer. And that we'll continue to pray until He has His way with us. that we know what His will is so we can pray accordingly as He desires. Now, we started Life Group. And really, if you will, that too has part of the purpose of this. But that is just once a month. Are you struggling through things right now? Do you need prayer? There's a prayer group. Oh, is it the wrong night? Please tell me. Because we've been praying and talking about maybe we should just move the night. But again, what it all is about is, again, is expecting and waiting on God and what He desires to do in and through you. Believing that God has a purpose for you. Because, folks, He does. There's not one of you that He does not have a purpose and a plan for. And as we learned last week, every one of us, He's given a gift. Sad to say, so many of us never discover it. Why? Is it lack of anticipation, expectation? Is it lack of faith? Is it lack in trusting who He is and His promises? Yeah, warning, this can change you. It's all of a sudden, your focus isn't on you, it's on Him. Warning, your time may be spent differently. You may be in fellowship with Him, storming the gates of hell, if you will, and changing the world for His kingdom. Warning, you may find a purpose in your life that's totally different than what your plans were. Warning, God may have gifted you with something that you've never, ever known. And you may find out that you too can be a goofball like me and stand before people and proclaim who Jesus Christ is. Will you stand with me? Let's just take a moment of silence and we'll just ask the Lord to speak to each of us individually. Father, I know that many, Lord, can't make it. It's a time is just not good for them. Maybe it's something that, you know, again, that there's unnecessary guilt. Pray, Father, that you remove that. That's just of the devil. Lord, that you would, again, bring us to this point of understanding of dependency upon you, but also an urgency as we see the world as it is. That, Lord, we know that you have equipped us with everything we need here on this earth to be followers and to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. A prayer for each of us, Lord, that we would understand the urgency, but also the joy and the expectation that when we come together, your Spirit is moving amongst us. Lord, I heard it in worship. I did. I heard it. I know you're moving. Lord, I pray that each of us would find, again, that desire, that passion, one accord to come together for only one purpose, and that's you, to be glorified. Together as a church body, pray, Lord, that we may be small, but there is a church that is dedicated to you. And I pray that there's many churches in this city that are dedicated for your purpose, for your passion, and for your glory, Lord. I pray that when we come to Sunday morning that we're excited to come. because we never will know exactly what you're going to do in any given moment. We never know when you're going to show up mightily and powerfully because you're here. But again, your revealing to us is your prerogative. And I believe, Lord, one of the purposes of that is that we would come expecting every time, wondering the mystery and the beauty of who you are, that you always move perfectly, that everything you do is right. Your thoughts and your ways are so beyond ours. But still, as we've talked about before, as it says in Isaiah, you wait for people that will truly wait on you, expecting, wondering, anticipating you moving in the hearts of your people for your glory and for your purpose. As we are here on this earth, Lord, truly waiting and anticipating the day that you will come back. But also seeing those that are being left behind. Lord, we are inadequate. We cannot share our faith with them rightly, not apart from you. We can't live our lives as we should apart from you. The godliness that is revealed in us is because of you and the work that you do in and through us. We have been sealed with your Holy Spirit. Now my prayer is for each of us, is that living water of your Spirit would overflow each of us. I pray, Lord, that you would fill this church with your Spirit. I pray that it would be overflowing. Lord, again, this week that we have, I pray that we would look and reflect on just some of the things that we just talked about this morning. Are there things that I'm holding on to that I desire more than you? Do I have a purpose that I desire to fulfill rather than the purpose you desire to fulfill through me? Are there things and trinkets in this world that I desire more than you? Is my time the most precious thing that I hold back from you? Lord, I just pray with the understanding that each of us have other difficulties and trials and struggles, especially with time. Lord, you know how best each person here to spend their time. And I pray that they would spend some time sitting at your feet, listening to your Spirit, show and reveal to them what time they do have and how they can better use that for you and sitting before you. But again, I pray there's an urgency in each of us on Sundays that we can come together. Prayer for those that are able to make it. Life groups for those that have signed up. Men's and women's studies, Lord, that again is a time that we can get together and talk about you, putting you first, but also waiting with anticipation of what you're going to do in and through each of us and together. Bless this body, I pray, Lord, that your light would truly shine upon her, that she would be a vessel used for your honor and for your purpose, for your glory. That this would be a place of excitement and expectation and anticipation of who you are and what you desire to do. Bless this body. We pray for the churches here in Lincoln that you would bless them too. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.